What fills your mind as you're slipping off to sleep each night? Here's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
I love to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning, and even during the night as I wake, to have scripture in my mind. And I'll tell you the times when I don't, when I get my thoughts instead on the things that disturb me during the day. Those things become so big.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of A 30-Day Walk with God in the Psalms. For September 7th, 2021, I'm Dana Gresh. You can access the news 24 hours a day. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. In a world where bad news is trying to constantly catch your attention, Nancy helps you focus on truth. Here's part two of the series, A Calm Heart in a Troubled World.
We're looking at the first 11 verses of Psalm 37 over these few sessions. And I want to encourage you to be reading those verses, not just for the few days of this series, but maybe over the next few weeks, and meditating on these verses, memorizing them perhaps. They have been a huge blessing in my life, and I find myself going back to these verses over and over again, particularly when confronted with things in this world that are disturbing. And there's a lot in this world that's disturbing. You can't live with other human beings and not be confronted with evil in our own hearts, but also in the lives of others. And our natural tendency when we're confronted with wrongdoing in others is to fret. And as we saw in the last session, that means to get heated, to have our peace disturbed. And we're seeing in this passage that the scripture says the one thing we're not to do is what we're most prone to do. We are not to fret. Three times we're told that, verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8. Don't fret. Don't let it get under your skin. Don't fret. But as we look at these verses, we're going to see today that there are some things we are supposed to do in the face of evildoers. We're supposed to stay cool. The question is, how do we stay cool? You say, it gets to me, that person's behavior, that person who works in the next cube who is so annoying. That person who lives in my home, who has such an annoying habit, or who is making such foolish or wrong choices. How can I stay cool? And let me just summarize these next verses by saying the cure for fretting and for anger is look up. Look up. Look up where? Look up to God. Redirect your response toward God instead of toward evildoers. What causes us to fret, to get angry, is that we are so focused on the people around us and what they are doing wrong. Your focus is in the wrong place. Redirect your response. Redirect your focus. Choose to look up instead of out toward evildoers. Orient your life around the Lord. Tether your heart to Him. Tether your emotions to Him. And we're going to see five exhortations in Psalm 37 that tell us how to look up. Let me just show them to you in order, and then we'll go through them one at a time. The first one we find in verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Then verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7, be still before the Lord. Or as some of your translations say, rest in the Lord. And then verse 7, wait patiently for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And you'll see that one three times, verse 7, and then verse 9, and verse 34. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord, or rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for the Lord. Now, what's the common denominator in each of those five exhortations? In the Lord. Orient your life around Him. Where is the evildoer in that? You're not even looking at Him. You're looking at the Lord. You're focused on the Lord. You're tethering your heart to the Lord so that your emotions don't rise or fall based on what the evildoer is doing. Now let's take those one at a time. Number one, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 3, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. Faith is the starting point for any relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with him if you're not exercising faith. The one who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You have to trust that there is a God in this circumstance, that the evildoer is not the ultimate end of things, that there is a God and that God is sovereign, that God rules over all, that God is over all evildoers. You have to trust that God is wise, that he knows everything. You have to trust that he is good, that God is working out his purposes in this world, that he has a plan, and that God's plan has not been thwarted by this evildoer, this person who is making your life or this world difficult. You have to trust that God knows your situation, that he's not blind to it, that he has not abandoned you, and that God cares for you. So as you see what this evildoer is doing, this person who has a temper or who is being immoral or who is making unethical choices or foolish choices and it's making your life difficult, you say, my husband is spinning our family into financial debt, or my boss is taking this business down and making my life miserable. Don't focus on the evildoer. Now, I'm not saying the evildoer doesn't exist, but God is still God. And God is okay. He's more than okay. He's there. He is in charge. He cares. So trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Put your focus on him. This faith that we're supposed to have is not a passive faith. It's like I'll just, you know, pretend that nothing is wrong. It's an active faith. An active faith always produces fruit. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do the right thing. Don't let the other person's evil make you do evil. The fact that they're losing their temper and they're cursing and they're being profane and vile or mouthy or sinful in their behavior or their demeanor, don't let it make you sin. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do good. Faith always expresses itself in right actions. If you're trusting in the Lord, then you're not going to act like a fool when you're dealing with the fool who is making life difficult. Do good to all men, including those who do evil. You see, the true child of God, and throughout Psalm 37, you see the contrast between the righteous and the wicked, the ungodly and the godly. You see this contrast, two different kinds of people. And the true believer, the righteous person, the person who's been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in Christ, that true believer will have a life that stands in stark contrast to the unbeliever. The unbeliever, the wrongdoer, he does evil. That's because his heart is evil. His bent is evil. So don't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. What should surprise us is when Christians act like sinners. We're the ones who are supposed to be doing good because we have a new heart, a new nature. We have the capacity to do good because Christ lives within us. He has made us a new creature. We don't have to do evil in responding to evil. We can do good. We can do the right thing because Christ lives in us. So trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Dwell in the land. Remain there. Settle down in the place where God has put you, and don't always be running around looking for greener pastures. So many of us spend so much of our lives trying to escape difficult circumstances. And God says, don't try to get out. Stay there. Dwell in the land where God has put you. Now, this truth would have to be balanced with other concepts in Scripture, other principles in Scripture that would say sometimes it is appropriate to remove yourself from the presence of evil. But if God has put you in a situation, then stay there until God moves you out. Stay there until God makes it clear it's time for you to leave. Dwell in the land. Remain there. Don't always be looking for ways to escape. People change jobs, they change churches, they change marriages, and what they do, they find themselves just with more evildoers. Because wherever you go, you're going to find it. So he says, dwell there, settle down, dwell in the land. And then that phrase, befriend faithfulness. The New American Standard there says, cultivate faithfulness. And I like the New King James here, it says, feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land. And how do you keep from starving in this sinful land? You feed on God's faithfulness. You let his faithfulness satisfy you. Remain where you are and be satisfied with the thought of God's faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then number two, and we find this one in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Strong says that that word delight means to be happy about, to take exquisite delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now keep in mind the context here. We're dealing with evildoers. We're dealing with wrongdoers. We're dealing with a situation where our tendency is to fret. And in that situation, he says, delight yourself in the Lord. Let him be your prize. He is the pearl of great price. Let him be your cherished possession, your pursuit, that which you seek after. Treasure Christ. Treasure him. Say, Lord, in spite of what's going on around me, in spite of how foolish these people are or this person is in my life, in spite of the difficulty that they are causing me, I'm lifting my eyes up. I'm looking at you, and you are awesome. You are wonderful. Feast on him. I've been memorizing and meditating in the book of Revelation in recent months. And I love chapter 1, that incredible, awesome picture of the resurrected Christ. Feast on it. Feast on him. He is on his throne. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lamb of God. His eyes are like a flame of fire. It talks about how beautiful he is, how powerful he is, how majestic he is. He loves us. He has freed us from our sins by his blood. Feast your eyes and your heart on him. Take delight in him. Get your eyes off of other people and delight yourself in the Lord. The problem is we spend so much time mulling over what evildoers are doing that that's where our focus is, and that's all we can think about, and that's what makes us angry. That's what gets us hot and bothered. That's what gets us overheated. As you're going to bed at night, instead of mulling over what that person did to you that day that hurt you, making a big deal about it, get your thoughts off of that by consciously, intentionally putting your thoughts on the Lord. And that's where scripture memory, by the way, is so helpful, meditating on the Lord. I love to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning, and even during the night as I wake, to have scripture in my mind. And I'll tell you the times when I don't, when I get my thoughts instead on the things that disturb me during the day, those things become so big. And then it's as if I forget God is there, and I'm finding myself getting overheated instead of delighting in the Lord. And he says, if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. What does that mean? If we delight ourselves in him, he will give us himself, because he will be all that we really want. He will be what we desire, what we long for, what we cherish, what we prize, what we live for. You can't lose. And again, this lifts you to a plane where you can live above the fray. Live above the evildoers by delighting yourself in the Lord. So trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then number three, look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. That word commit your way, it means to roll one's way onto God. To roll it over onto God, to transfer it to him. One writer said it means to dislodge the burden from your shoulders and lay it on God. Lord, this is not mine to carry, this is yours to carry. Commit your way. Lord, you see my way. You know what I'm dealing with. You know this difficult person. You know this difficult circumstance. We deal with it at Revive Our Hearts. We take a stand on something. We try to do it as winsomely and lovingly and graciously as we can. But sometimes we'll get emails saying, I can't believe you said this. I can't believe you are so unloving as to say this. And if your conscience is clear, what do? You commit your way to the Lord. You say, Lord, this email's for you. You handle this. I'm rolling it on to you. I think the Apostle Peter was probably thinking of this verse when he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxieties on the Lord, because he cares for you. no point in me staying up all night worrying about this or stewing about it or getting all uptight about it. God cares for me. Let God handle it. Yield yourself completely to Him. Commit your reputation to Him. Lord, what they're saying, and people are believing what they're saying, and other people think it's true. Don't defend yourself. Don't protect your own reputation. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your path to the Lord. Commit your situation to the Lord. Commit your circumstances to the Lord. Roll it all on Him. And when you do, that means you will not be groaning under the load. This is how you get free from anger. This is how you get free from fretting. You trust in the Lord. You delight in the Lord. And you commit your way to the Lord. You roll your way onto the Lord. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. There that is again. Trust in Him, and He will act. Let God act. He will do whatever needs to be done in the situation. Now, I think one of the reasons we're so prone to fret, to get overheated, to get angry, is because we feel like God is not acting, like God's not doing anything. And as women, we cannot bear to stand by and watch nothing happen. You know, it's like somebody has got to step in. Somebody has got to do something. And if nobody else will, I will. And we start to bear all the load of the world on our own shoulders. Ladies, it's not ours to fix. One commentator said, He will accomplish all that your faith has laid upon Him. Lay it on Him and then let God act. Now, you have to let God act in His way and in His time. One of our problems is that we get frustrated when God doesn't act in the way we think He should act. When God doesn't fix something in the time we think He should fix something. But keep in mind, God has more in mind than just fixing your problems. God's wanting to change you. God's wanting to change that person. God's wanting to display His glory in this world. And sometimes God gets greater glory by letting that problem stay in your life than by removing that problem from your life. So you have to say, is my ultimate goal to get this situation changed, or is my goal for God to be glorified? Am I willing to stay in this situation if that's what pleases the Lord? For His glory, then I'm willing to do that. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will act. He will act in His time and in His way. Now, He may not solve it in the next, 28 minutes like happens on TV programs. He may not solve it in a way that is the way you would have scripted it. But praise God that He's writing the script, that He doesn't act in the way I think He should act because I'm so short-sighted. I don't know the whole picture. God has the whole picture in mind. He knows what's really needed. Trust in Him and He will act. You know, sometimes I wonder what God would do in our circumstances and our situations of life if we would really trust Him, if we would commit our way to Him, if we would let Him do it. I think God wants to do miracles in some of our lives, maybe in your finances, maybe in that unbelieving mate, maybe in that rebellious son or daughter, maybe in that impossible boss, maybe in that impossible church situation. God wants to do something truly amazing and God-sized. But I picture sometimes that God is sitting up in heaven going, you want to handle this? Go ahead. And I wonder if sometimes God doesn't put Himself into a state of inactivity, kind of, because we're so intentional in acting ourselves. Go ahead, you do it. You want to be God? Well, no, Lord, I can't. I was just waiting for you to say that. You want me to act? Yes, Lord, I need you to act. Okay, commit your way to me. Trust in me, and I will act. God will act. What does God want to do in your world that maybe He's not doing because you're acting? You're taking matters into your own hands. Trust in Him and He will act. And we got to look at verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. That's one thing God will do. He will shine light on the situation. He will make everything clear as the light of day. He will vindicate the righteous. Everyone will see the truth. If you're the innocent party, but but no one else knows it or believes it, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Leave it to Him to vindicate your innocence. Don't defend yourself. Don't try to prove your point. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. He will make all things clear. Everyone in time will see who was right. So what do you do? There are two left in the list. We'll get to those in the next session. But look at these first three. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. Oh Lord, I pray that You would cause our hearts to be tethered to You, that we would orient our lives around You rather than around evildoers or wrongdoers, that instead of focusing on the evil in the world and the evil that plagues us and perturbs us, rather than fretting or becoming anxious or angry, Lord, may we have peace in our hearts, quietness, settledness of heart, joy in the journey as we delight ourselves in You, as we trust in You, as we commit our ways to You. Thank You, Lord, that You are God and You are good. And even in this moment, though there may be things pulling at us, things wanting to steal our peace and our joy, we just want to say intentionally, we choose to trust in You, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, you're probably going to observe some evildoers today, either in person or in the news. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been showing you how to respond biblically. This is a type of program you've probably come to expect from Revive Our Hearts, practical application of biblical truth. Deb from Iowa called to tell us how the Lord has used that biblical teaching to calm her heart in times of trouble.
I wanted you to know that God has blessed my walk with Him countless times through your solid biblical teaching. Especially during the 2020 pandemic panic, I would purposely tune in with the realization that You would lift my chin and help me to look into the faithful face of my Creator and Savior. Stayed upon Jehovah is my theme. Thank You for helping us find perfect peace and rest as we fix our minds on His everlasting truth. Thank You so much, and may God continue to bless your ministry.
Thank you, Deb. And praise God, we're celebrating His faithfulness in extra ways this month as we think about how He's used Revive Our Hearts in women's lives over the last 20 years. Our methods of outreach have changed over time, but our message stays the same. We're still saying, yes, Lord, as we wave the white flag of surrender to Him. As a special gift this month, when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts, you'll receive a 20th anniversary Yes, Lord art print. You can display it in your home or office as a reminder that we're declaring this message right beside you. And also, when you make a donation, you'll receive a study written by Nancy and our friend Mary Cassian titled True Woman 101 Divine Design. This resource is just full of foundational concepts to understand God's design for your womanhood, who He created you to be. Just ask for it when you make your donation at reviveourhearts.com or when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. You know, none of us likes to wait. But learning to wait on God can be a deeply fulfilling experience. To learn more about that, well, you'll have to wait until the next Revive Our Hearts. I hope you'll be back with us tomorrow. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is bringing you the message of freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
At Revive 21, you can learn to stay grounded. You'll hear from a powerful lineup of speakers, including Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
When the world around us crumbles, will you be able to stand firm because you're being held by the God who cannot be shaken?
The conference is hosted in Indianapolis by Revive Our Hearts, and you can attend in person or online. Join us for Revive 21 on October 8th and 9th. For more information and to register, visit revive21.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959.